Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
I want to talk to you tonight about being filled with the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And next week, Lord willing, I want to talk to you more detail about speaking in tongues and what's that all about. There's no way I can exhaust that subject. So it ought to pique some curiosity. Starting with Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, the Bible says, "Don't be drunk with wine, for that's reckless living. But contrary to that, be filled with the Spirit," Spirit of God, "speaking to yourselves," or could be to one another in the context of this, "in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs," which are spontaneous songs, "singing, making melody in your heart to" who? Our first ministry as a Christian is to the Lord. That's your first ministry. You are to minister to the Lord. You can do that in a variety of ways, but one of the ways you can is just speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and melody in your heart to Him. No one else around. Just to Him. You minister to the Lord. Not that He needs anything, but we benefit when we minister to the Lord. Your first ministry is minister to the Lord. My first ministry is not preaching, teaching. It's to minister to the Lord. Relationship with Him. Now, we note that we're the ones making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Not to ourselves, not to others, but to Him. That's your first ministry. We're to keep fresh with God. We're to keep alive with God. We're to keep alert with God. We're to keep, be aware of His presence. Be sensitive to Him. Be conscious of Him. Be in awe of Him. Yes, the creation declares the glory of God. You don't have to go very far to be in awe of God. Look at all of His creation. When you go out tonight, I don't know if the stars will be out, but be sure if they are, look up and just take a breath and in awe of God's creation. He did all of this by speaking a word. That's powerful. And the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. That's our responsibility. Rejoice in the Lord always. And the Bible also tells us in everything give thanks to Him. The Bible also tells us don't be anxious about anything. Oh God. He said don't worry about anything. Okay, don't fear anything. A verse that's been coming back to me a lot this week is Isaiah 41:10. I'll quote it to you. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed or discouraged, for I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now God is saying, I'm the one to do all this. So your part is don't fear. Don't be discouraged. Okay. Because our focus is on Him. He says, I will. I'm with you. I am with you. I don't feel you, God. God says, I am with you. Is God with you? He said, don't be afraid of anything, because I'm with you. Don't be discouraged about anything. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. Is God a liar? Will he do these things? Will we do what we're supposed to do? If we believe. So we have to keep fresh with God. This is what I believe this scripture is talking to us about. Do whatever you have to do to keep fresh with God. Keep aware of God. He's never leaving us. He's not sitting here in this church building waiting for us to show up. He's with you in the car. He's with you when you're writing out the bills. He's with you when you're watching the news. He's with you when you have a bad dream at night. He's with you when you hear a bad doctor's report. Fear not. I am with you. His presence is supposed to make a difference in our life. His presence is supposed to bring confidence in us that other people look at and say, how come you're not falling to pieces? How are you able to stand up and do that? Confidence. Because we know he's with us. And this scripture is telling us that we are to be filled with the Spirit. And I want you to notice it does not say pray to be filled with the Spirit. Like I hear so many people pray. And I don't think God's upset about that when you pray for that. But being filled with the Spirit is a command. God did not say pray to be filled with the Spirit. Or else we'd do that. He said, be filled. And we're to have the confidence in him that when he says something, he'll back it up. And then he tells us the things that go along with that. Speaking to yourselves with the psalms. Those were written songs, by the way. And hymns that inspire you. And spiritual song, making up melodies in your heart to God. It's not for anybody else to hear. It's to God. You do this. And he said, that's how you're getting filled with the Spirit. It's a command with instruction. How to do it. You know there's no temple. There's no tabernacle. There's no building of worship in heaven. When you get up there, you won't say, where's the temple at? Where's the tabernacle? There's 24/7 worship. There's singing. There's glory. There's praise. There's thanksgiving. Why? Everybody in heaven is filled with the Spirit. And yet here on earth, we are commanded to do this. Because on earth, not everybody's filled with the Spirit. I'm talking about Christians. Not every Christian's going around filled with the Spirit. And you aren't filled with the Spirit all the time. I'm not filled with the Spirit all the time. I'm saying you have the Spirit if you're born of the Spirit of God. You're born again. You have the Spirit. But you're not always filled with the Spirit. But yet God tells us in his Word, be filled with the Spirit. While you're down there on earth, be filled with the Spirit. Sing. Melody to the Lord, hymns, whatever you got to do, be filled with the Spirit. God commands us to do that. And I showed you last week the three circles, the body, and then the soul, and then the spirit, the born again spirit, your spirit, God's spirit. And in your spirit, there are gates that go outward. But nothing gets inward because the Bible says we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Nothing can contaminate your spirit. It's perfect. It's sinless. There's no sin in your spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, all in your spirit. God's nature, His DNA is in your spirit. And out of your spirit flows the rivers of living water. And here, between the area of the soul in the spirit is what we call the heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. You guard this now. He said, God didn't say He would guard. He said, you guard it. You guard this heart with all diligence, because out of it are every issue of life. Everything affects your life. So your heart is in between your soul and your spirit. It's a combination of both of those. And your soul is different from your spirit, and that soul is your mind and your will, your emotions, your personality. Your soul has gateways. But now, in the area of your soul, things can go in and things can come out. Your soul can be touched by a wonderful song, and it goes in and it touches your soul, and if you can let it touch your heart. And your heart's moved. Maybe you cry. Maybe you weep. Maybe you dance. Maybe you're just joyful. But your heart gets touched. And not only good things, but bad things can get into you, to your heart. Bad things from the world can influence your heart. Lead you to, you open your heart up to somebody you shouldn't open your heart up to, and you get your heart broke. You open yourself up to things you shouldn't open yourself up to. Bad things get in. There's a gate there. You're the gatekeeper. Guard it. No, I don't need to guard it. Yeah, guard it. Guard it. If you don't, you're going to get hurt. Praise God if He gives us the opportunity to repent and so forth. And then there's gates out here in your body. Your eye gate. What comes in, what you see, what you focus on. There's an eye gate. It affects you. Your taste, your sight, your hearing, what you listen to, your touch and everything. There are gateways that can affect you, good and bad ways. Are you with me? And so here on earth, we're told as Christians, God's speaking to Christians. He's not telling non-Christians this. He's telling Christians, people who have the Spirit. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Where do you get filled with the Spirit? You have the Holy Spirit. Where do you get filled with the Spirit? You have the Holy Spirit here in your spirit. You get filled with the Spirit by singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, speaking psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's going to affect all the area of your soul, your psyche, your mind, your will, your emotions. So when you get filled with the Spirit, you get filled with the Spirit in your soul. Your soul gets filled. Your soul has something in it right now. But it's to be filled with the Spirit. So what will this look like in real life? You've already experienced it. Let's say someone calls you a nasty name or does something to you. Normally, this would get under your skin. You have had a pattern in the past that anybody called you this name or anybody did you this way, your flesh would rise up, and you've had a pattern, a habit over the year. You normally react this way. Kind of a knee-jerk reaction. I know none of you know what I'm talking about whatsoever. You're going, Pastor, we have no earthly idea what you're talking about. You just have naturally done that. You got mad. You'd spout off. You'd want to fight. You'd want to cuss. You'd want to do this. And it's kind of a habit. You've got you've done it for years. It's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. But now, when you're filled with the Spirit, what you would normally do doesn't seem to be able to get under your skin and pull you in that direction like so easily it has done in the past. This time, what they're saying to you, you realize what's going on. This is an attack of the enemy. It's just the enemy. And God just gives you supernatural calm. And you maybe give a soft answer that turns away wrath. Or you don't flare up like you normally do. You're just totally different. And you handle it different. You might be filled with the Spirit, you think, when that happens? You know so, don't you? So this is practical living. Instead of acting the way you normally have in the past, all of a sudden, wow, you acted totally opposite of what you would have done in the flesh in the past. Instead of anger, you were gentle. Instead of fearful, you were peaceful. Just, you flipped it. You just did opposite. And you walk out of that situation and you go, my Lord, what just happened? Normally I'd have, you know, chopped their head off, or I'd have cussed them out, or I'd have done this or that. And I was nice and I was peaceful and I was calm. You were filled with the Spirit. Well, you say, well, why can't I do that all the time? Well, you can. You just don't. You got to grow. You got to mature. And so what happened was the Spirit of God, the DNA of God, God's nature that He gave you when you were born again of the Spirit, was allowed to overflow into the area of your soul. And you had love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faith and meekness and self-control flowing there rather than anger and frustration and fear and jealousy and rage and all these other things. And the outcome was so much better. And now you testify about that. That's part of your testimony you share probably the rest of your life. Now, so this born-again spirit flows into our soul and should flow into our heart and can be manifested out in our body. We're not afraid, we're not angry or whatever, totally opposite. Ephesians 4:17-18 says that Christ may dwell or make Himself at home in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know personally by experience in intimate detail the love of Christ, which is far greater than just academic knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You remember times where you have experienced when you were filled with the fullness of God. You don't forget those moments. Something powerful happened. Well, here's my point. This is within reach, ladies and gentlemen. This is not just for the preachers and the evangelists and the people up here on a platform. This is within reach for your life right now in your situation. Hallelujah. And the fullness of God flowing from your inner man, overflowing into from your spirit, over into your soul, and even affecting your body. So you're not anxious, you're not nervous, even affecting your body. That's available for all of us. We ought to just stop and thank God. Lord, thank you that we're in church tonight learning that we have stuff available to us that we have not been accessing, and we need it right now. Thank you, Lord. Now, being filled with the Spirit is up to you. That's why God's never said, pray to be filled with the Spirit. He said, just be filled. It's already available right here. Everything you need is already available. Be filled. Now, how do you do that? Get your mind going in the right direction. Get your mouth going in the right direction. Get your soul cleaned out of things that need to be cleaned out of, so that you're worshiping God, you're aware of God. And you see, God is bigger than your mountain. He's bigger than your problem. and you're in awe of Him, and you're worshiping Him. And so when these little nitpicky things come along to try to get under your skin, aggravate you, they're like little mosquitoes. You just go, dink, dink. You ain't stealing my joy. Nope. Dink. No, I'm rolling now, man. I'm going with God. I'm doing good, and I'm staying in peace. I'm staying in love. I'm walking in love. I ain't about to let that mess get in me. Dink, get out of here. You don't let those things bother you because you're filled with the Spirit. Boy, what would church be like if everybody was filled with the Spirit? Everybody's filled with the Spirit. Whew! Preaching be easy. I probably wouldn't even preach. I'd sit down and let you preach. You've heard me enough. I say, you preach. You're filled with the Spirit. Preach. You're filled with the Spirit. Preach. You're filled with the Spirit. Preach. And we'd all be awed. We'd all be awed. Here's my point. You can be filled with the Spirit as much as you need to be filled with the Spirit. There is no lack. It's up to you. Question. Okay, now what's the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, the difference, first of all, I want to point out, one happens in you and the other happens upon you. One happens in you, the other happens upon you. I'll try to explain. You get filled with the Spirit, that happens in you. You already got the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, you've opened up the gates so the Spirit can flow through you, flow into your soul, touch your emotions, touch your mind, touch your will. And you open it up and it can even overflow over into your body. Your body can have those wonderful manifestations, peace, joy. So one happens in you when you're filled with the Spirit. That happens in you. Say, being filled with the Spirit happens in me. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, say that with me. Baptism of the Holy Spirit happens upon me. Two different things. Let me illustrate. If I take a drink of water, the water is in me. If I go to the beach and jump in the ocean, the water's all over me. Are you with me? Two different things. One, the water goes in. We receive a drink. The water goes in. It goes to all the different parts of my cells. When we're saved, we get the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. He comes in you. He doesn't leave. He comes right down here and He dwells down here in your born-again spirit. He may not be dwelling in your heart, though. Because we just read about in Ephesians 4 that Christ, the fullness of God, may dwell in your heart. What's the difference between your heart and your spirit? Your heart is a combination of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit. Your heart is touched by the Spirit, but your heart's not always controlled by the Spirit. Your heart's controlled by you and your soul. And Christ may not always dwell in your heart, but He always dwells in your spirit. Did I confuse you? Difference between the heart and the spirit. The heart is a combination of the soul and the spirit. It's in between, and the spirit part of you is the born-again part of you that you receive, the Holy Spirit. Your spirit is wall-to-wall Jesus. Your spirit is perfect. Your spirit, there is no lack in your spirit. Your spirit is all completely full of love and joy and peace, all of God in your spirit. But it's not always all in your heart. Oh, chapter 3, I'm sorry. Okay. Oh, chapter 3, Ephesians 3, 17. Yeah. You got a question, brother? A Abiding in the heart of God. That's a good question. And I would think it would have to do with the area of your soul, that your heart becomes like God's heart. You love what God loves. You hate what God hates. You think on what God thinks. That's the filling of the Spirit. You know, abiding in Christ is being aware that I'm dependent upon Him to live the Christian life. I can't live the Christian life on my own. The Christian life is not just behavior modification. If it were, Jesus died in vain. The Christian life is supernatural. It is Jesus living His life freely through you. But we need to be filled with the Spirit. Not every Christian right now is filled with the Spirit. Every Christian has the Spirit, but not every Christian is filled with the Spirit. Are you with me? You know when you're filled with the Spirit. You act just like Jesus. Things don't get to you like they do when you're in the flesh. Now, ask me how I know about that. Now, I want to stick with the subject now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's lots of written about this stuff. In fact, I have some books up here. I can give some out to all of you. Try to save it for new members class, but it's a good book. There's no perfect book that's going to perfectly explain baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's no perfect illustration. It is a wonderful mystery, but yet it's truth because it's the Word of God. So illustrations and people trying to explain it, me trying to explain it to you, is going to break down somewhere. But this is a good book. I like it, by Andrew Womack, called The New You and the Holy Spirit. And it talks about getting saved, what happens. It talks about being sealed with the Spirit. Talks about being filled with the Spirit. Talks about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you'd like one, the church has bought these. We'll give one to each one if you want one. And I would ask that you don't have to, but could you put a little, maybe an extra $5 bill in the offering maybe Sunday to help cover the cost of that? And if you don't, we're not going to come knocking on your door, so don't worry. But one per family, yeah, if you could, please. Yeah, because I only brought a handful out here, and I'm glad to give them out. I want to be helpful to you. And if you can't do that, that's fine. Feel free to take one anyway. Don't let that be a problem for you. So this is a heavy-duty subject, and I've already run over my time, but I'm going to have to go into next week with more detail. But I want to help you understand, at least an illustration, that you get the Holy Spirit the moment you're born again. And the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. But that does not mean you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized into the body of Christ because you're a Christian now, but you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. For example, in Acts chapter 8, you want to learn more about this, you need to read the book of Acts, because over and over it shows that being baptized with the Holy Spirit is a completely separate experience itself from even salvation. For example, in Acts chapter 8, Philip the evangelist went down to Samaria, had a great revival. Many people were saved, and they were water baptized. You can read about it in Acts chapter 8. When the church, the home church back in Jerusalem, heard about this, they said, man, there's something going on down there. So they sent Peter and John down there to go see what's going on. And so when Peter and John went to check it out, they saw that people truly had been converted. And then the scripture says, Peter and John laid their hands on them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, they already got saved, so they had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit until Peter and John came down and laid hands on them. Now, we have to ask some questions, because there's a lot of doctrines and a lot of church doctrines out there that are written in concrete. And I say, be very careful about writing certain things in concrete that we may not fully understand completely yet. And I wrote down a question that I would want you to be thinking about. Can a person go to heaven without the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. You go to heaven when you get saved. You receive Jesus. You go to heaven then. Saved people go to heaven. People without the Spirit don't go to heaven because they haven't been born of the Spirit. So salvation, you get saved, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers you to witness powerfully of Jesus. And that's the purpose of it. Another quick example, Acts chapter 19, Scripture says in Acts chapter 19, Paul found certain disciples in Ephesus, and he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" Now, that's a strange question to ask Christian people. They already believed. You get that? They're believers. And Paul asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" Now, when's the last time somebody ever asked you that? And yet Paul asked them that. And they answered, "We never even heard about any Holy Spirit." And then, Acts 19:6, it says, "And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them." Notice he came upon them. Upon them. We're talking about the baptism. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spake with tongues, and they prophesy, which is inspired speaking. When you get the power of the Holy Spirit upon you, it affects your speech. You want to speak. You want to tell people about the glory of God. You want to tell people about Jesus. You want to tell people about this God you've encountered. You want to tell people about that. And there are millions of people right now all across our world that can testify to this baptism of the Holy Spirit and how that is a separate and distinct experience after salvation. How many of you here would raise your hands and say you've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit after salvation? Raise your hands up. Okay, look at that. Varied in the way that it can happen. That's why I say be careful about churches that tell you it's got to happen this way. There are 7 steps to receiving the baptism. Be careful of that. Because God is not locked into that anywhere that I can see in the Bible. It can happen in a multitude of ways, in different ways to different people. Yeah, I've got stories to tell you, but I'm running out of time. Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power after the Holy Spirit is come," what? "Not in you, but upon you." And he's speaking to believers here. "And you shall be witnesses unto me," Jesus, "unto the uttermost part of the earth." That's why our mission purpose statement is so important. We're in alignment with that. We're presenting Jesus. So we're presenting Jesus, and we want everybody here in this church to experience Jesus. Be saved. Be filled with the Spirit. Be baptized with the Spirit so that they can be witnesses with power from God, not just some human emotion being worked up or hyped up, but the power of God that's undeniable. Now, some people have been baptized with the Holy Spirit without even realizing it. That'll mess you up. I'm telling you, some people have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and did not realize they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. They may not speak in tongues. They've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but they may not speak in tongues. Be careful about churches, I'm telling you, that have a theology that's already written out and scripted and tells you this is how it happens, and it happens this way for everybody all the time. You better be careful. You're not going to handcuff God and tell Him how to do things. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's not something you earn. It's not something you travail hard to get, to earn. You don't earn it. It's not you get holy enough and then God gives you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No, you already stepped out of grace when you do that. The baptism of the Holy Spirit will totally change the heart of an individual in a moment's time. Not that he won't have issues, but the heart is changed. Now, what will it do for you if you experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit? First of all, let's just say everybody's different. God's power will manifest in your life in some way you will recognize, but it may not be just like it happened for Joe and Lee and Pastor and Pam and anybody else. It may be different. That's how denominations are formed. It's got to happen this way. Everybody line up that's happened the same way that I had it happen to me. And if you didn't have it happen to you, then you're not real. And then we start a denomination. I'm telling you, people are weird, aren't they? I'm talking about me too. We're all just, people are so weird and fickle. Go off and start a denomination and, oh my goodness, don't get me started with that. But so how do I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, I'm going to end with this because I've gone over longer than I should. You receive it by faith. According to God's word, just the same way you receive salvation and the same way you receive everything by God. By faith in what He promises, trust in what He promises, confidence in Him that what He said He will do. Confidence. Even if it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense most of the time. Now. Okay. All right, I'm done. For now. I have 3 more pages, but we're done for now. Next week, Lord willing, we'll come back and we'll talk about what it means to, I'll finish us up and try to go into praying in tongues and why you should want that, okay? You don't have to have that, but it's like buying a pair of tennis shoes. It's got tongues in it when you buy the shoes. You might as well use it. But there are some people that are so opposed to tongues, I'll cut the tongues out because I don't believe in tongues. You know, just crazy, crazy stuff. So we'll learn more about that next week. And Lord, please don't let us get religious about this. Help us to learn from You and unlearn all this other religious stuff that we have picked up from people and things over the years that's just not the truth. Help us to know the truth, and truth will set us free. Let's stand together. Tomorrow night, there's men's meeting here at church. Come be a part of that, men. And Sunday, don't forget, you turn your clock forward, spring forward, Saturday evening. Okay, and so be sure to do that so you don't show up late Sunday morning for church. Now, Father, 6 o'clock, 7 p.m., the men's meeting tomorrow night here in the fellowship hall. Okay, all right. Let's just lift our hands and bless God right now. We are here to minister to Him. So just bless God. Out of your mouth, just bless God. Just bless Him. Tell Him what He means to you. Tell Him what you appreciate about Him. Honor Him. Become aware of His presence, more aware of Him, His presence than you are of the people around you. Just stand in awe of Him. Declare His greatness, His glory to you. Appreciate what He's done for you. Be thankful and rejoice in the fact that He never changes. And rejoice in the fact that He loves you unconditionally. And rejoice in the fact that He even brought you here tonight to stir up your heart to start making think about things that you need to think about. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We appreciate you. Now, Lord, help us this week to be obedient to your command, be filled with the Spirit. And speaking to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and making melody in our heart to you. And remember, our first ministry is to minister to you before we dare minister to anybody else. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. God bless you. If you'd like one of these books, come up here, one per family, please.